Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Well, he's back.
David Bellavia with us in studio here on News Radio 930 WBEN as, of course, part of Bowerly and Bellavia. And the cash code word this 3 o'clock hour of the program is sunshine. Like, if you're in Florida and you're trying to get to Sarasota, you're probably going to cross the Sunshine Skyway Bridge. The word is sunshine. And you can text the word sunshine to 72881, 72881 for your opportunity to win $1,000 from News Radio 930 WBEN. The word is sunshine, and the text number to which to text it is 72881. Well, David Bellavia, the adoring public, I'm quite sure, is very interested in knowing what exactly you've been up to this week.
Nothing, just went to the Association of the United States Army convention every year, the Woodstock of soldiers. It's pretty fun.
I would imagine.
Yeah, it's great.
So any good stories you can tell us about the people with whom you came into contact?
Just a ton of new equipment and, you know, just a lot of good, cool stuff that's coming our way.
That sounds very, very exciting.
It was.
And you've got a busy schedule coming up, I presume, the week ahead?
Yes, going to be going out to California tonight and then Florida and be home midweek and then out to Florida at the end of the week.
Anyway, California, Florida, back home, then back to Florida.
Yes.
Man, frequent flyer miles must be adding up.
They're getting up there.
We're talking like well. You can go to Australia and back probably for free.
Well,
not
I don't know
that
about
you're
that.
Excited about going to Australia.
You got to have time off to do that.
So, how draining is it on you? How demanding is it on you? Just curious.
It can be tiring, but the people are awesome, and every time you meet someone new, it's like you're starting the whole thing over again.
How much time are you spending at airports waiting for connecting flights?
Not far too much, but at the same time, you know, everyone else is in the same boat you're in. That is the most annoying part, the wasted time.
Have you developed a list yet of the least enjoyable airports at which to have a layover? Because usually get laid over in Charlotte, and I love the Charlotte airport.
Yeah, Charlotte's a nice one. There's a bunch of really nice ones, and then there are some that are just miserable.
Yeah.
And they're just not designed for long stays, and the food, everything is just horrible. The conditions are bad. A lot of airports around the country are in the midst, if not just completed, have some sort of construction going on.
Right.
And it's all happening right now.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, just the last time I was in Philadelphia, it was like, how many terminals does the Philadelphia airport have, and how far away from civilization are they going to put me for the layover?
Yes, that's very true. It's if, you know, Buffalo is next to a Central American country or something that people fly out of once every 3 days.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're going to the Dominican, or are you going to, and then it's like Buffalo. I'm like, how is that even connected? Syracuse? Like, who flies to Syracuse? People fly to Syracuse all the time.
But you actually have been to some of these layover airports where you've actually seen rodents scampering and scurrying around the tarmac.
Oh, listen, you know, you get to a train or you get to a subway, and it's just unbelievable how many varmints there are out there.
Wow.
Yeah, we're not, you know, we're pretty blessed to not have the tidal wave of rodents that some cities have.
Well, I don't know where you're going in Florida, but by and large, my experiences with the Florida airports have been positive. Fort Myers, Orlando, Hollywood, and Tampa. Fine airports all.
Yeah, there's not, I mean, the few and far between of the airports that are miserable, they're out there.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to avoid them.
And then there's got to be some places where you are assigned to go to be to make an appearance as a Medal of Honor recipient that is they're almost impossible to get to. For example, and I'm not saying they're ever going to ask you to do it, but trying to grab a flight to Deadwood, South Dakota. I mean, it is arduous. It's an ordeal. You better have a travel agent.
Yeah, those places are a little bit hard to find. You know,
I'd also like to go to, I want to go to the Surf Ballroom at some point, which is where Buddy Holly played his last concert out there in Iowa, I think. But
yeah,
trying to get a flight
right
into the middle of nowhere, forget about it.
Yeah. Was it Jim Croce that played Buffalo like a week before he died?
Yeah, a week or two before he died, and then he died in a plane crash on, September 3rd, 1973 in Louisiana.
And if you look at that runway, it's just one tree.
Yep.
Right there, and that's what they hit.
Yep.
Let me answer that.
Yep. And the thing about the Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash and the issues that had developed with that plane. And I think another, was it Led Zeppelin that turned down the plane that Skynyrd eventually chartered because they didn't think it was safe?
Yeah.
And it turned out it wasn't.
That's right.
I think it was Zeppelin. I could be wrong. So anyway, more traveling on regularly scheduled commercial airlines for Mr. David Bellavia.
That is true.
Or if you prefer, Staff Sergeant David Bellavia.
Yeah, whatever. It works.
Whatever.
But, no, it's fine. It's great. It's a lot of fun. And the other thing is that I'm just getting a kick out of you know, how many just meeting all these young people that are their whole life in front of them wanting to serve, and it's pretty cool.
So how goes the recruiting? What is a typical day in the life of David Bellavia, recruiting spokesman?
Well, you just give, you know, you're talking to folks all the time, guys that are from a different station about to deploy or going to training, and just, you know, give them a little perspective and hopefully you know, lift their spirits a little bit and just, you know, keep everyone's morale up.
I mean, do you get the sense that these younger people, whether they are about to enlist or whether they're about to deploy, do you get the sense that they look upon you in awe because of your incredible accomplishments?
I don't see that. I just see not. I mean, most of these guys have never seen the award before, certainly not met a recipient before. So it's cool to at least you know, have the opportunity to expose them to a part of the Army that they did. But most, if you're brand new to the Army, you wouldn't really have a lot of exposure to that anyway. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like these kids have never deployed. They've never gone to basic. And then some of them have gone to basic, and they're super excited. And then the other group is like, you know, do I want to re-enlist or do I want to go, you know, become a civilian and see, you know, if we can't keep those. Because, I mean, again, it takes so much talent. We're in the next 2 to 3 years, we're going to be solidifying the way we fight for the next 30. So we're at a precipice. This is like 1980 in the Army right now. Do we go with the, you know, cusp of the edge technology that will sustain us? You know, the Abrams tank. Think how long we got out of the Abrams tank, the Bradley fighting vehicle. These were technology from the late 70s that we constantly updated and made, you know, more modern as technology presented itself. But the Apache, the Patriot, these are really old weapon systems. And so that legacy has to move on if we're going to be able to compete with all these other nations in years to come. We need other platforms to build off and make us the most lethal army in the world.
And generally speaking, based on where you went with the Army this week, are you able to talk about any of the new technologies or weapons platforms that are in development and maybe ready to be deployed or are underway?
Well, it's all out there. It's nothing top secret. This was an open convention to the world. Anyone could have gone in and checked it out. But yeah, we've got from robotics to new munitions and rifles and armored personnel vehicles. This is a top to bottom. They've, you know, the American people, they got a budget with the military that's reinvesting. They're rebuilding everything that they had for Iraq and Afghanistan. And so it's smarter, it's more rugged, and we're going to be a faster, lighter military.
And is this true not just for the Army, but also the other branches of service? Is everybody updating and getting ready to do battle with the Chinese?
Oh, I don't care about them, Tom. We don't care about any other branch of service. No, I'm sure every other branch is doing the exact same thing. I'm just, familiar with the Army side because that's what I'm closest to. But, yeah, but it's going forward and making sure that hypersonic vertical lift and all the different things the Army's trying to get into, they're able to do in the future.
Are they
going to
keep the Osprey?
You know, majority of that is a Marine Corps.
Okay.
That's theirs, right? There is a version of that Bell Helicopter has out there as a prototype for the Army. But again, the Osprey did not start out with a lot of confidence, but they really fixed that thing up, thank God. And it's not only a war horse for the Marine Corps, but it's the fastest thing, in that platform. It blows the Chinook away speed.
He said Chinook, by
the way. The Chinook used to be the fastest, bird in that class. It's a helicopter, rugged, but it's very quick. It's very effective and rugged. But this Osprey gives you more speed. It gives you more pack if you're trying to get, troops on the ground. It looks really good.
The Osprey, to me, is one of the coolest looking bits of military technology I've ever seen. But I'm also a big fan of the P-51 Mustang. We're talking obviously way old school stuff from way back when, and the Super Fortress B-29s. I mean, when you think about the history of our military and aviation development, it is absolutely remarkable. And, I mean, now we've got, the F-35, the F-22?
Right. The future helicopter for the Army, the Marine Corps, Navy, all of them, we want, obviously, to be faster. We want, stealth is always the most important thing. If we'd be quiet and move fast, it'd be great. But to quickly get out of an area is the one thing that the industry has been trying to get for a very long time. Just a quick pop into the air and then get going, and that's something that they're trying to work on, to be able to get out of hot areas quickly and stay away from danger when you're putting troops on the ground.
Just out of curiosity, has any development been made on better grade, better quality, more comfortable military footwear for the Army?
Oh, I'm sure they have contracts left and right on that stuff. I mean, again, if you look at the quality, the one thing that was on display that really wasn't a technology thing, but it's the new dress uniform for the Army. It's the pink and green from World War II. It is absolutely incredible. I've never think of Band of Brothers,
right,
where it was like that light brown with the light brown tie, dark brown jacket, the belt overneath. It looks just like those guys were running around in England in 43.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and they've got the MacArthur hat that has the fold in it.
Yeah.
Brown shoes. It looks fantastic. I did not see one of those uniforms walk by and think, that's awesome. No name tape. There's no name identification on the jacket at all. It's just rank.
Is there a reason for that?
Well, they're going back and forth in the final model, but, I don't know. Maybe it's to be an army of one and just respect the rank and the awards, and that's all you need to see. I don't know.
No,
maybe it's done on purpose. Maybe they'll eventually issue out the nameplates.
That is very interesting. Any developments?
It looks really good, though.
I wasn't expecting to go down this road, but I'm just kind of curious. Any developments in terms of tactical gear that will absorb modern rounds of ammunition with minimum damage to our soldiers?
Well, yeah, the body armor evolutions, those things are almost every 6 months. Someone's going to have a rifle that's amazing. The part is that in order to get that into circulation, it's got to go through so many tests. And the other thing is that, you've invested so much in that platform that you currently see with the M4 series. What are you going to go with a bigger ballistic? Do you keep the lower assembly and just add a larger assembly on top so that you could fire a larger ballistic through the barrel? What is the way, who's going to get that contract, and what is the way that you could save us money, but also going with a larger ballistic for a future fight, but still allow us to keep some of the investment we've made in the past. That's really how these contracts are won.
Given your combat experience, given your legendary service in Iraq, given the fact that you are a Medal of Honor recipient, do the contractors or does the military ever approach you and say, look, you've been there, you've been in the fog of battle, what are we missing? What could we do to make this better for the people on the ground?
Well, listen, my experience is 15 years ago. So, I mean, what worked for me 15 years ago is not even in the stratosphere of what's, you know, there are guys coming home right now or in theater right now that are having experiences with different weapon systems and report that. The Army has an entire full-time job, teams of people. I mean, hundreds of folks that just do lessons learned. What works, what doesn't work, what's the biggest complaint on this piece of equipment, and they just are constantly feeding that into research and development. I mean, it really is an incredible institution.
So given
it self-corrects all the time.
That's pretty awesome. So given, just a silly question, but given the new uniforms to which you have been exposed and the fact that you, when you are on tour with the Army, are wearing, I guess what we'd call an older school uniform, do you sometimes feel out of place?
Well,
a few years behind the fashion?
Yeah, well, I mean, everyone's wearing one thing, you're wearing the other. Yeah, for the most part, the award is the uniform that, you know, that's just put a suit on and put the award on. That's pretty much all that is required these days. But when you see these guys walking around and they're wearing all their awards and they've been in for so many, I mean, 30 years, 35 years, all these sergeant majors of the Army and chiefs of staff and generals and whatnot, it's just...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A lifetime of service. It's incredible to see it all displayed right in front of you.
You know, I was going to ask you another question, but I'll hold off on that one. It is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. We made it to Friday. And, David, one of the things I have to tell you, we're going to get into this, I think, after the news at 3:30, but one of the things that I really admire about you, and I'm a little bit jealous of you in this regard, you have to go to so many dinners with so much good food, and the wine, I'm sure, is flowing amply, and yet, despite your many tours across and around the country, you come back into this studio looking as svelte as ever. How dare you?
Listen, that's the one thing that I never thought in a million years that I you know, everywhere you go, there's a three-course meal, you know, and you don't want to be rude, but you can't eat four dinners, and, you know.
Try me.
You just can't. You can't do it. So it's really tough to just be able to not eat, you know, because there's so many. You'd be 500 pounds.
Well, no. I mean, my movie career actually got a jump start when you were away. Lakehurst, New Jersey has contacted me asking if I would be willing to be a double for the Hindenburg.
Wow.
So it worked out pretty well on that front. Yeah, David is here with us in studio, of course, Bowerly and Bellavia, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. So, David, you spend a lot of your life, I guess, as most of us do, on your cell phone. And have you ever had the experience where your cell phone, you know, the provider, or perhaps the cell phone itself, was malfunctioning, and you were basically stranded like Gilligan and the crew on the island off of Hawaii?
Yeah, you know, sometimes if you travel foreign and you don't set up your data service beforehand, it'll lock you out, and that's a pretty, now you know Wi-Fi, no anything.
Oh, it's a very disturbing feeling, and yesterday, I don't know where you were yesterday, but Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. Thousands of people who are Verizon customers basically lost their cell phone capabilities. Thousands of people. Widespread cell phone outage. And it is amazing, David, how much we depend on our cell phones and instant connectivity and 4G, soon to be 5G, which will kill us all.
All right. That is true. I mean, it's a huge part of that's part of the infrastructure bill that they want to put out there to make sure everyone has access to whatever comes down the line. 5G, what that means, the health risks. I mean, look, you saw how people reflexively want to take out industries when it comes to vaping. Imagine what happens when someone sees double after 5G towers go up.
Yeah, but, you know, what I've been reading about 5G is not exactly encouraging. I mean, there are people who claim, and I'm not sure what the science is, there are people who claim that this 5G is making them sick, it's affecting wildlife, and what is there? You know more about technology than do I. What is there about 5G that is that much different than 4G that might have the effect of making people ill?
Well, I mean, look, there's I'm sure people have a million different reasons and the research is still being done. But the problem is that once you've gone over and invested in a totally new infrastructure, it's really hard to just backtrack. It's not like, you know, the VHS came out and everyone just threw their Betamaxes away and said, you know, it's no longer needed. There were still some that were out there. When you turn the switch like this, you know, those are billions of dollars you're not going to get back.
And, I mean, are you convinced that people are getting sick off of 5G?
No. I'm sure there are some people it affects differently. You know, there's a million. To me, it's the windmill argument.
Yeah, I don't know what to make about it. I mean, some of the stories I read about people claiming to be sick from 5G seem pretty compelling, but I'm not sure what the science and the data say.
But I hear environmentalists who love windmills and say it's the way to harness the wind and it's clean. Other people would say it's too loud, it kills wildlife, it's an eyesore, it kills your property value. I mean, you can't win.
You know, we have not really talked about vaping much this week. We did bring it up when we did the show on smoking cessation a few days ago. But October 18th, this is the day when the stay on Governor Cuomo's executive order banning the sale of flavored vapes was supposed to come to an end. And I guess court arguments are being heard on that front. And David, we hear that Juul is suspending sales of its flavored vape products. Have you ever seen an industry within 2 or 3 months go from riding the top of the mountain to basically fighting for its life?
It's pretty astonishing. And you know, Juul making the decisions that they're making, again, how much pressure are they feeling? That's a huge part of their market. It's a huge part of what they sell and how they make profits. And, you know, they're fighting for their survival.
I mean, I don't know how this is going to go in New York State. I mean, I suspect that vaping is going to be an endangered business. But in Michigan, interestingly, earlier this week, a Michigan court ruled against that state's governor's emergency decree on vaping on the grounds that it would be too injurious to the economy in Michigan, which I thought was an interesting legal ground upon which to make a decision.
Right.
You know? But have you, I mean, as somebody who's traveled all over the country, and you continue to travel all over the country, is vaping a hot topic? Are you seeing people vaping in the airports?
No, it's really nothing. I have not seen anything outside of New York. Anyone's talking about it. It appears that it's pretty safe, you know, in other areas. They you bring it up and they're just like, what's the problem with vaping?
You've seen a lot of people vape in other places?
It doesn't seem to be affecting anyone outside of New York.
And somebody told me, by the way, over the last weekend, I wanted to ask you about this. Let me just find my proper text. Ah, yes. The Army, Navy, and Air Force banned the sale of e-cigarettes and vaping products from exchange stores. That went in full effect on October 1st. So, at the military level, they're doing away with vapes.
Everyone's doing it.
And it just, it doesn't, not to rekindle the whole vaping show again, but it doesn't make sense to me, especially because within the past couple of days, New York State's own health commissioner has actually come out and confirmed that the overwhelming majority of people who have gotten sick or who have been fatally injured by vaping are not vaping the commercially available stuff. They are vaping the illegal THC cartridges. And right. Not to repeat what we've been talking about so much, but to ban the legitimate cartridges, which have not been linked to mass injuries or mass death because of illegal THC cartridges, just seems to me like a step that does absolutely nothing to solve the problem.
Again, far be it from me to bring logic into this. I just don't seem to understand what the never seen such a rush to judgment based on really no information. And if it is truly a health crisis, I mean, wouldn't you like to find out who's doing this and put them behind bars? I mean, you don't even have an idea of how it's happening.
Yeah.
How could it be it's a health crisis. What is it? What's killing our youth? We've lost one kid in New York State. How many opioid deaths have we had? We had task force set up. We had, this was wall-to-wall coverage. And we still didn't have anything unilaterally done by the governor.
And every year, David, we see roughly 200 people who are killed in motor vehicle accidents with deer. 200 people every year. Is that also a public health crisis? Are deer a public health crisis? Well, not even mentioning the Lyme disease they spread.
Well, right. But so my point is that this is a very reflexive emotional response to something we really don't have a lot of answers to. And you would think if you were calling something a health crisis, you would want all of the answers. You'd want to know what chemicals these are that are doing this, who's providing them, who's selling them, and get to the bottom of it so that we don't have people mixing that stuff.
Well, what does your gut tell you about what's going to happen in New York State? I have to believe that since Andrew Cuomo cuts a lot of ice in this state and one could argue holds full sway and dominion over anything that happens in this state, that vaping is not long for the Empire State. I don't see the court ruling in favor of the vaping industry, given the hysteria and the political chits that have been put on the table.
We'll all know the answers when the hookah industry donates another $10 million to the DNC.
Hookahs. It is
a new phenomenon.
3:45 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Yet to hear from the dabbing industry on this whole controversy, but I just found out about dabbing relatively recently, and I'm still not so sure I totally understand it. By the way, make sure you stay tuned to News Radio 930 WBEN because we will have a pair of tickets to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra Saturday, December 14th. We'll be giving those away probably in the next hour on WBEN. We also, after the 4 o'clock news, we'll have the 4 o'clock cash code word right here on WBEN. So stay listening for that. It will be another opportunity for you to win $1,000 from News Radio 930 WBEN and our evil corporate overlords at Entercom. So let's talk a little bit here about losing weight. You know, we talked about quitting smoking and how you did it the other day, and I want to find out how you guys have actually lost weight and how have you kept it off. There are so many ways to lose weight. There is counting calories, and there are no shortage online of apps that will help you do that. There are so many calorie counting apps and nutrition apps out there, and many of them are absolutely free. And then you've got your prepackaged meals, like something like Nutrisystem would be something with prepackaged meals. And David, you did Chirothin with one of our sponsors, and it worked well for you.
Yeah, I did, and it was Revolution Health Quarters in Buffalo. Incredible. I mean, the other thing about it is that when I do lose control and I gain some weight, I'm on the road, I eat at the wrong times, bad habits, whatever it is, I just go right back and recharge the body, and we get right back to doing what we should be doing and burning the stuff that we shouldn't be hanging on to.
So with Chirothin, when you do notice that you put on a couple of extra pounds because of all the traveling and all the eating that you are forced to do because of your many public appearances, do you have to do one of those loading days where you do the 5,000 calories to jumpstart your metabolism?
I just go right back to the plan of eating what I was eating at what times and the amount of water coming in, and it's like we're right back to normal.
I don't know how many people out there have done Weight Watchers. I don't know how many people out there have done Jenny Craig. I don't know how many people out there are doing something I just found out about a few days ago when I noticed that one of my friends has lost probably a good 80 pounds minimum. It's called Ideal You. They've got a billboard up. I know people who have been on that program, and it seems to work very well for them. And supposedly the Ideal You program puts your body into a state of, is it ketosis? And in that state, the body is able to lose weight. And it's a very, my understanding, and I have limited knowledge of it because I'm not part of the program, but my understanding is there are several phases or stages that you go through with Ideal You. And at least in the first few stages, one of the critical things is you are not allowed to have any alcohol. In fact, having alcohol while on the program may very well produce a less than healthy result. If you are listening and you have been able to lose weight and you have been able to keep it off, we are curious as to how exactly you did it. It might be something just as simple as you don't drink pop anymore, you don't drink booze anymore, and you decided to walk 20 minutes a day. If that is the case, we would like to know. So how did you lose the weight? How much did you lose? How did you do it? Were you able to keep it off? I know Joe Beamer did this topic a little bit this morning. We might have touched on it in a relatively recent program. But since that program, I've talked to a bunch of people about a bunch of different weight loss programs that people have tried with varying degrees of success. And like I said, I have talked to some folks I know who are doing the Ideal You thing, and I've heard very good things about Ideal You, and I've also heard great things about Chirothin that David Bellavia has used to basically get back into fighting shape. If he was any more fit, he'd be deployed tonight. Let's go to some calls on WBEN. It is Maria in Buffalo. Maria, you're on. Hello.
Hello. So I have three children of my own that like came from my body, and I had these children over the course of 5 years. And after I had all my kids, you know, I had put on some weight and it was driving me nuts. And my cousin who joined this place called Core Capacity Trainer, it's called Core Capacity. They have a couple different locations, but they have this thing where you sign up and you join for it's like a 6-week program. And by the end of 6 weeks, you are supposed to lose 20 pounds if you follow their diet program and their gym regimen. And so I signed up and I did this this past summer, and I lost 20 pounds. I'm like a smaller size person, but I was able to drop that 20 pounds and get to a good weight that I was looking to be at. But it was very healthy, and by the end of it, I was totally just transformed. And this place is just, the trainers are wonderful. And
so is it exercise based? Is it calorie counting based? What is the basic, modus operandi of Core Capacity?
Okay. So they have a special diet program that you follow, and it's like six meals. You have six meals a day, and it's, they give you a lot of different choices. But it's mostly, I would say, like chicken and vegetables, fish, stuff like that, like just healthy, lean types of foods. And then, okay, so you must follow this program, and you have to drink like a ton of water, like 8 bottles of water a day. But you also have to go to their gym 5 times a week for these 6 weeks.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of work. Hold on, Marie, if you want to add to that, I'd like to hear more about core capacity. And basically, don't pay any attention to Joe Beamer in the morning because, you know, Joe talks about gaining weight. Joe is thin and in really good shape. So when he talks about gaining 5 pounds, don't feel too sorry for Joe. I, on the other hand, am deserving of your sympathy and your pity because I was 185 glorious pounds for many, many years. Maintained what for me was a really good weight. And along came my infamous health troubles and something happened to my body and I ballooned. And I must put an end to the ballooning because, I don't know, waking up in the morning with the word Hindenburg painted on my side probably was a sign I got to do something. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Oh, the humanity.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.